Good afternoon. And, well, it's a bit of a privilege, really, to be involved with you at this. I believe this is a bit of a significant day. Does anybody else believe that? I think something happening today, and when we agree with something on earth, actually gets agreed in heaven. I think there's something that's actually happening today, which I think has got heavenly consequences. So thank you for the privilege of that. I bring greetings from Nesta. I'm afraid she's not with me. She is still your friend, though. I want to reassure you of that. But we have actually just recently moved house. And does anybody know that moving house is one of the three most stressful things that can... I just want to testify to that. It's like, I mean, please, I don't want to move again. But that's been quite sort of a thing for us. But I've been asked to share some things, some thoughts really around this moment, the vision that's been being preached over the last few weeks or so, coming to a sort of point of recommitment and rededication. And I think that's what's happening today. I hope that's what you think, that's what's happening today. So we're going to be praying for you just towards the end of this meeting. I want to pray for everybody. I want to pray for the church. And the church is not a thing, it's a people. Yeah. So we pray for the people. And so it's wonderful. Some of the team here are going to be here with us and actually part of that. So my theme today came from the text that Phil read this afternoon. If some of you weren't here, you've missed the text. I'm so sorry, but it's a very, very well-known one. And I actually want to speak on these few words, if you like. I press on. And this comes from Philippians chapter 3. It's what Paul is writing, and he says, Now, let me just sort of take, for every time I've come here the last recent sort of years, I've always mentioned a song. I've kind of gone, oh, well, this was my favourite song, or this is a song which is meaningful to me. Today, I'm going to do the same thing. I'd just forgotten that was the case. But today, I want to talk about, you know that actually there are songs that apparently, you know, they kind of lodge in your memory, and they remind you of an event or a time. So every time you hear it on the radio, or we sing a song, you go, oh, that brings back something. Do you know what I mean when I talk about it? It's actually got a phrase. It's called a music-evoked autobiographical memory. Anyway, that's what it is, just in case you didn't know. So I have a number of those. Certain songs come on the radio, and it takes me back to a certain occasion. But there's one song that I would say, if you said to me, over your last decades of walking as a Christian, has there been one song that has actually come back again and again and has been meaningful to you? And I would say that it was this song. Sorry, I'm not going to sing it. You look very worried for a minute there. It's called I Press On. Now, there's somebody I know, a lady called Cindy Ruakaria. I'm never going to say that name right, Ruakaria. And Cindy is actually from New Zealand. She's Maori. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Maoris, but Maoris are quite a warlike kind of people. If you've ever watched the haka before a rugby match, you know, it's meant to intimidate the opposition, and it works, you know. But Cindy is a worship leader, a Maori worship leader. And I remember some time ago, I heard her sing, and I got it on a CD, this particular song. You know it, Gary? Yeah. It's called I Press On. And it gets me every time because I believe God's come into my life and spoken to me at key moments again and again when at some point or other I needed to express this again. Today, I press on. And the thing is, it starts off quite quietly, but it builds and it builds and it builds. And it becomes not just a gentle little kind of reflective song, it becomes a warlike declaration. It becomes like, I press on. And it gets louder and it gets more kind of Maori-ish as we go through the song. The trouble I find is I play this when I'm in the car. And I get emotional anyway, so I'm kind of driving along. And as it gets louder, I turn it up louder and louder and louder. And of course, what happens then is I drive faster and faster and faster. And I'm driving. And one day I'm going to be pulled in by the police with my tears in my eyes. And they're going, wait, I'm just pressing on. I'm just pressing on. But it's a song that has got that sort of meaning to me. and is based on this particular text. So I'm going to just put the text up. We'll just have a look at it. I've gone the wrong way straight away. So, and the text, obviously, I won't read it all again because Phil's already read it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick out just two or three phrases that I believe are pertinent and relevant for us today. And I want us just to think about some of them, just have a look at them there, because I want to know Christ, yes, I want to know him, and I can't everything that's gone before. I just want to say, John, is it John who just prophesied? You prophesied my whole message in just like 2 minutes. Or I could actually say that's done now, because yeah. You just said it. So if you feel like I'm saying something, oh, I've just heard this, you have. And I think that's perhaps because God wants to say something here. Okay. And I said, we've not obtained all this, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining towards what lies ahead, I press on. Now, can you hear something in Paul, what Paul is doing and saying at this time? Because I want to say just a couple of things. The first is, this is not Paul's beginning of his journey. It's not at the start of his life. You know, many of us said, you know, when I was sort of 18 and I was passionate for God, yes, Lord, I give myself to you. I commit myself to you. I'm going to forget what's behind. I'm going to press on to what's ahead. This isn't actually back then. This is Paul from prison. This is towards the end of his life. And he's still saying something. He's saying, I haven't obtained it all yet. I haven't got there, but I'm going to forget what's gone before, and I'm pressing on. Hello? We talking to the right people? It's exactly the same as Joshua. If you remember Joshua, he said, as for me and my house, what does he say? We will serve the Lord. He didn't say that at the beginning of his life. He said it at the end of his life when he was there. So this is not a thing about, you know, youthful enthusiasm or whatever. This is a statement that I believe God wants to hear from us wherever we are on our journey. And some of the things I want to say today are really a bit more personal about us as individuals. But then hopefully we can see it all about collectively as well. The second thing I want to say is that the language you'll find in this passage is really quite strong. I say it's not a gentleman. Paul writing here is writing very personally to the Philippians. He's kind of saying, look, here's my heart. He's not correcting their doctrine. He's not sorting them out. He's just going like, here's my heart. And in this passage particularly, you'll find his words, garbage. he's straining, press on, take hold. These kind of phrases, they're actually all quite strong as we see that as we undo them. So I believe Cindy Ruaka got it right when she didn't sing a gentle little soft song. I think she got it right. This is, folks, a declaration. For me, it's an anthem. It's an anthem for my life. I want to be going, God, at this stage of my life, I press on. I press on into the upward calling of Christ Jesus. Let's just pick out two or three of the different phrases then. And here's the first one, as John has prophesied. Forgetting what lies behind, okay? So this, if you like, today I would like this to be a moment when a line is drawn in the sand. Because Paul himself is saying, look, I'm drawing a line now. I'm saying everything that's gone before, everything. Now, what everything? It means successes, failures, you know, victories, challenges, hurts, joys, everything. I'm drawing a line and saying everything now I'm putting behind me. I'm not going to be looking that way. It's not going to be. Because I want to say this, folks, I don't believe our past should limit our future. It should not restrict our future, whatever. Mind to be drawn. I'm prepared, if you like, to create you a line to be drawn and to say, you know. Now, there are other times in the Bible where it's good to look back, and I know this, so it's not, but on this occasion, Paul says, I'm drawing a line. I'm not going to be looking back anymore. Nestor and I love watching athletics. We've got a grandson who's an athlete, so we've been to lots of athletics. But we noticed a few things that there. One of them is, and you may have seen this in certain races, you'll see a guy or somebody running ahead of everybody else, and then they start looking over their shoulder. And we want to go, stop looking behind. Stop looking behind. Because actually what happens is that as they look over their shoulder, they start slowing down and occasionally they stumble. And I've seen people absolutely just lose the race. Why? Because they're looking back instead of looking forwards. I think that's just such a fundamental thing for us. Today, we need to finally, if you like, draw a line. We need to say, whatever has gone before, I'm going to count it all as nothing. It's not of any relevance. It's actually quite hard for some of us, you know. I find it a little bit hard to introduce myself these days. So they say, so who are you? And I kind of go, well, I was. Well, you know, so recently we were at an international gathering of a wonderful network of churches called Catch the Fire. And everybody kept sort of coming to us and going like, so who are you then? And I go, Now the fact is, our daughter, our eldest daughter and her husband, they're leaders within Catch the Fire. They lead Catch the Fire Asia, just a little small area, you know. They lead Catch the Fire. So I just go like, they go, so who are you? And I was going to say, well, I was. And I what? Listen, I'm Rachel Salker's dad. And they go, oh, that's good. That's good enough, you know. And I've come to that stage, well and truly now, where they said to me, we always used to be known as Mark Mumford's daughter or whatever. Now, oh, I'm Rachel Salker's dad. That's like, that's my credibility. But see, I can't even live on things that of the past. Count it all as nothing, okay? Draw a line. Let's just say the past now is the past. Forget what lies behind, okay? Which actually moves us straight on to the next one, which is we then strain towards what is ahead. So we're pointing now in the right direction. Forget what's gone before, straining for what is ahead. And I think this is actually now not just I'm just looking in the right direction, but his language again, straining for what is ahead, reaching forward into something new, because God wants to do something new. He says, Paul says, I've not arrived yet. We've not got there yet. In fact, this is like a new beginning. And I want us to sort of see that for us personally in this, that somehow or another, it's about me actually having a new beginning and then us collectively having a new beginning. There's a new start, which means there is more to come. There is something ahead. And I think this is all about hope. It's about having that hope from God, that when God does something, he does anything by his spirit, he gives you hope. Because it's something about a dynamic of heaven touching earth and saying, now there's a future. In fact, you could call your church now something like that. It's not a bad name, is it? Lots of definitions of hope. I love them. This one I like. It's called the happy anticipation of something good. Don't you like that one? The happy anticipation of something good. And that is because God cannot lead us into something that's not good. Where we are pointing towards, if we are straining towards it, it can only be good. Yeah. He can only bring good things to us. True Christian hope is not, as we know, cross your fingers hope. It's a sense of God's touched our hearts and touched our lives, and he's giving us something of a future. Paul calls it, he says, and there's a heavenward, if you like. So the journey from here is something forwards from this point. And we're just joining with the great saints of old. Abraham was straining forwards, looking for a city, builder and maker. Moses was straining forward, looking for a promised land. And if God's bringing us to a new start, a new beginning here today, and we strain towards it, it's because he's got something good for us ahead. I've got a couple of quotes here I'd like to give you. One is from a guy called Andy Frost. I don't know if you know of him at all, but he's a good guy. He says, hope is sparked when something of eternity bursts into our fragile lives. For a moment, we lift our eyes from the problems of the world and we glimpse things as they could be, as they will be. I love that. It's just sense that because it's not, hope isn't just something we kind of try to generate from ourselves. It comes from God. And when his spirit, if you like, when something of eternity breaks into our fragile lives, and that's it. So I think there's something of God saying, I want you to be a people of hope. Not just have a bit of hope, but to be a people who carry hope, because the world desperately needs a people carrying hope these days, doesn't it? But there's also something about our own personal pursuit forwards. This is another quote from, this is actually from a friend of ours who's written a little book of reflections. It's called Postcards of Hope. And she says this, one of the most glorious things about being a follower of Jesus is realizing that who I am now is not all I'm ever going to be. I can expect an onward journey of becoming more like Jesus, with more hope, more love, faith, grace being released into my life. Even when life is challenging, difficult, and tiring, I am still becoming. Hello. And in that time, I'm not traveling away from who I really am. I'm actually traveling towards the person I was always meant to be. That means I am being changed from glory to glory, and I am being changed more into the person that God created me to be. That's my life journey. Isn't that wonderful? There's still more to go yet, folks. There's still perfection. It's taken me a long time to get there. Actually, we know that we're still on this journey. I haven't obtained it yet. I haven't kind of got there yet, but I am pressing on. I am pressing on. And it's a decision, I think, that comes from deep in our hearts. And the third thing, then, is to say this phrase. Taking hold of that. I've heard a number of messages. Some of you may have heard many messages before on taking hold of your that. Taking hold of that for which God took hold of you. In other words, it's a purpose. It's a sense of destiny. It's a sense of, that's my reason for being saved. God did not save you just to sit you out. He didn't pull you out and just sit you on the back and say, now you're saved. He said, I'm giving you a that. There's a that, a reason for what I've called you for and to. And again, the words here, they don't come over very clearly in the English, but apparently in the Greek particularly, it's like this is a sort of taking hold, isn't like a gentle little grabbing of, you know, it's a rugby tackle. It's a taking hold. Folks, this is a kind of a, I'm going to take hold of that, that God's got hold of me. I'm going to go for it. It's kind of 100%. It's not like tickling at something. It's like, I'm taking hold of that. And I just wanted to say two or three things that I feel personally about this. And I could just say my own personal journey. not coming up now. I'm stuck. Can you just help me there? Thanks. So I've just got three things that are coming up under what am I that, all right? They're going backwards. All right. Well, the first one is my to be found in Christ. That is my first and foremost, that's my goal. That's my goal for my life. I would go like, what do you want to find, Mark? What do you want ahead? I say, the first and foremost thing that I want above and beyond anything else, I want to be found in Christ. I've got lots of friends who faded and fallen or whatever. I want to say, I was found in Christ. I want to be the one that they say. In Cindy's song, when she sings it, she goes, I fought the fight. I ran the race. I kept the faith. Hallelujah. I want to be though one of those that doesn't just like splutter out, but that runs the race to the end. Great to burst the tape, wouldn't it? Just to go like, you know, and it's not all about activity. It's just where our hearts are. I've had the privilege and the sadness of, in the last couple of years, of speaking at both my dad and my mum's funeral. My dad died a couple of years ago. My mum died last year. She was 99 and a half. God bless her. And I just want to say they kept the faith right through. The day my dad died, we found on his desk his notes for his Bible study he was leading the next day. He's got it all ready. It's all there. He kind of went like, I'm running the race here. And I'm running. Fought the fight. I've run the race. And you just know that you know that God then says, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, I want to go. That's what and Paul says. It's my goal. I want to be found in Christ. And in Christ doesn't actually just mean I'm just sort of hanging on as a Christian. I'm just kind of still in there, just about hanging on. There's something more than that. You see, we've been adopted into his family. When we say we belong to Christ, we don't just like sit at the back and feel like we're just tacked on. I belong. And do you know, the more I learn about adoption, the more wonderful I think it is. It's a wonderful, wonderful idea that God says, I've adopted you. And we have just been through a wonderful ceremony in our family. It's our second daughter and her family have adopted our 10th grandchild. She's Kai. She's beautiful. She's lovely. She's actually been part of the family for 8 years. But for different reasons, her final adoption didn't come through until just recently. And we had this little ceremony. You have to go to the courts, down to the courts for it. And there's a ceremony of very, very informal, to be honest, but just handing over like certification that says that you're formally adopted now. I found it really moving. It's all a bit different because my son-in-law is a judge. So he couldn't preside over his own case. Right, or his own situation. So what happened was all the other judges came. It was wonderful. And they came in their regalia and all this sort of thing. And we as the family, we're there as grandparents and the family, all dressed up in our smartest gear and so on. It was just a wonderful thing. Very moving to watch it. But what I said, oh, look, new certificate and her name, right? And I said, oh, did you have to change her name by deed poll? And they said, oh, no, didn't you know? I don't know if you know this or not. So didn't you know, she gets a new birth certificate. She gets a new birth certificate. I went, you what? I said, I'm preaching on that. I'm a goodness me. I said, like, that means she's born again. Isn't that amazing? You don't just get like a change of your name, deep. No, I get a new birth certificate. You are reborn into the family. She's a Khan now, right? And when I go like, God, that's what you've done for us. Yeah. You haven't just like added us in as an extra. You've gone like, no, you got a new birth certificate. Yeah, you belong to me now. And I'm saying to you, Lord, I want to be found in you. Because I belong to you. I am in your family. I'm part of your people. Hallelujah. Lost my notes here. So can I do this or not now? Let's just see. Yeah. So to be found, that's my first and personal. It's very personal, but I'd like it to be yours as well. Okay. I want to kind of sow it to you and say, let's make that our goal. Before we have, let's even say before a church vision or before collective things, just say, I want to be found in Christ. Yeah. I want to be found there. I want to be that one. That's my goal in life. Secondly, then, though, is to be aligned with God's will. My that must be about finding God's will, seeking his will, understanding his will. And some people say, well, it's really hard sometimes finding God's will. Well, it is and it isn't. You see, God's will is effectively his ways. It's like, if you can imagine this, this is a river. And the river flows this way. And it's like God's heart for us, if you like, is a river that flows this way. If we are prepared to get in that river, we live our life according to his ways. We live our life with his ways. We are in his will. It's like once you're in the river, you're kind of floating down the right direction, you know. And I don't want to say, well, we know his ways because we know what he's like. He's gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's rich in love. He's generous. He's kind. He's forgiving. He's loving. And we go like, oh, if we get in the river and we start to live like that, we're already in God's will. So find his will. You know, he's a just God. He's righteous. Let's get in the river and go, okay. So then when we're in the river, then what we really want to find, what we mean by God's will for my life sometimes, I want to be in the middle of the river. That's where I really want to be. So when our kids were small, and then later when our grandkids were small, we used to play this incredibly complex game called poo sticks. Anybody, if you don't know what poo sticks are, I'm sorry, because we, you know. Anyway, it's a very technical game. You kind of like, you stand on one side of a bridge over a river. You all drop your sticks into the river, into the bridge. You run across the other side and see which one comes out first, right? So I obviously play this with my grandkids, bearing in mind it's not the taking part that's important, it's the winning. Okay? So I say to them, right, I'll be here, you go there, and you go there, and let's see who wins, okay? Granddads have to win. Come on, come here. So why would I win every time? Because I'm in the middle. I drop in it into the middle of the river, run across. And what we want, folks, is we want to be in the middle of the river. We want to find that. By the way, I did actually end up preaching on using that as an illustration in Japan one time. I thought halfway through, what am I doing? I'm the land of Nintendo. And I'm talking about poo sticks. They just looked at me in an inscrutable way. Just what was it? Anyway, the idea, obviously, you got the idea there. It's like if we can get into the center of God's will, you just know then. I know. Some deep in the if you're right in the center of God's will, you go, this is what I was born for. Even if it's tough, even if it's hard, you go, I was born for this. Somehow or another, I'm finding grace for this. Other people might not have. I can. I've got grace for this. Because I'm not just in the river, I'm in the middle of the river. So aligning ourselves with God's will, that's about getting that, okay? That. But the third one, let's just take it away from us as individuals and just bring it to the corporate now, just as we conclude this now. And that is to be immersed in God's people. Because for all the talking about us as individuals, God's not called us to walk alone. He's called us to community, to family. Praise God. He's called us to be not just a group of individuals, but a people. Peter calls it, once you're not a people, now you are the people of God. You are the people of God. That's a collective. And what you've been doing recently is you've been rebuilding and saying, okay, this is who we are. Forgetting what lies behind, straining for what's ahead. This is who we are called to be. And I love that. I've looked at the vision and the mission and the kind of emphasis that you've got at the moment. I think it's just like, wow, if my individual life and calling and work, if you like, can't line up behind that, there's something very wrong, because I think there's something in there that we say, yeah, we can all give to that. And if we're going to be straining for what's ahead, reaching for it, pressing on into it, and taking hold of that, then it's going to be taking hold of our collective vision. Immersed in the people of God. Not just attending, not just kind of coming in, just giving a bit of a scent, immersed into it, saying this is why. So you've got in your vision and purpose and mission statements, things about we're going to be a welcoming people. We're going to be diverse. We want to bring transformation. We want to proclaim Jesus. Good so far, right? We're going to have an emphasis on prayer. We're going to focus on children and youth. And we're going to be focusing on being an international community. I want to say, folks, whatever that is in your heart, you know, whatever is there, whatever's here right now, that's what we're reaching for. So we're going, that's where we're going, Lord. That's where. So it doesn't matter where we are on the journey. It's the fact that that's what we're pursuing. And that's what I'm pressing on for. That's what I'm taking hold of. That's what I'm after. Today is like a day of recommissioning, but it's a day of recommitting as well. As for me and my house, God, I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to forget what's gone before. I'm going to strain for what is ahead. I'm going to take hold of that, that that you've called us to, and we're going to press on. Amen? Amen. Amen.